All of us at one time or another are going to face trials and temptations. You'll notice the scripture reading today had to do with temptations, trials, problems that we face. We cannot escape it because it is part of the fallen world in which we live. But here's the question. When we do, what enables us to stand against the world, the flesh, and the devil? We are studying together the life of Joseph from the book of Genesis, and I would like for you to take your copy of the Word of God, and would you please turn to Genesis 39. Genesis 39. This morning, I would like for us to look at this passage from several different camera angles. You know, cameras, you know, that's what they do in movies and presentations. You can look at the same scene from different angles. So today, we're going to look at this passage from several different camera angles. Question number one, what did Potiphar see in Joseph when he looked from his camera angle? You say, well, wait a minute. Who is Potiphar? Look at verse 1 of Genesis 39. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. So Potiphar bought Joseph. Potiphar is the chief of Pharaoh's secret police. His job was to remove any threat to his boss and to oversee the execution of criminals. People who plotted against the Pharaoh would be arrested and often never ever heard from again because Potiphar took care of them. Notice Potiphar bought Joseph, which leads us to this thought. This suggests that Joseph, now think about this, against his will, because of the treatment of his brothers, he was sold to these people who took him down to Egypt, of all places. Now, here is Joseph, who knows the Lord, loves the Lord, serves Jehovah God, is in a slave auction. That could be nothing but ugly, distasteful, and humiliating for anybody to be put on the slave block, and now they're going to sell you. Imagine him being paraded in front of these people, a leering crowd of people wanting to buy these people so they can use them. Sometimes they treated them horribly. So there's Joseph on the slave block. Potiphar buys him. Add to this, poor Joseph going through this circumstance. Remember, he is now in a foreign country, Egypt. So that means that he couldn't even understand the language. Can you imagine being there, watching what's going on? You hear everybody talking, but you can't understand their language. You're trying to figure out, looking at their eyes, what they're going to do. And he's bought. But the scripture says, the Lord was with Joseph. I have walked through this with Joseph, and I will tell you, there are so many places in his biography where I say to myself, would I see the Lord in this? Now think about it. If you had been in his situation, would you see the Lord in that? We hope. But the scripture says, look at verse 2. But the Lord was with Joseph. And watch. And he was a successful man. He became successful. He's taken to Potiphar's house, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. That's interesting. And that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. And Potiphar made him the overseer of his house and all that he had put that he had was put under Joseph's authority. Joseph was promoted. Joseph was entrusted with everything that Potiphar owned. So that meant that Joseph was now supervising the servants and the employees. I mean, he was on the slave block himself. Now he's overseeing these people. He's administering the business matters, overseeing the finances for the Pharaoh, for Potiphar. And the Lord began to bless Potiphar because of Joseph. So things began to run smoothly. We are told that the crops flourished and the flocks multiplied. Joseph has been promoted. Hang on. Because I know what some of you may be thinking. I don't know your circumstances. But over the years, all these situations have come to me. And I've heard, not always men, sometimes it's even a woman about her job. She says, I wish I could just get promoted. It makes me so mad that they moved him into that position. And that's the position that I wanted. It involves more money. I wanted to work in that department. I wanted to work for this particular person. I wanted to be promoted. And pastor, I don't understand it. I love the Lord. I'm faithful to the Lord. And then I get bypassed. Would you pray for me that I will get promoted? And I remember many times as I sit there listening to this, trying to get the mind of the Lord and follow the Holy Spirit's leading, I have said, are you sure that that's the best place for you to be promoted? You think that's the best and safest place for you to be? You'd be better off if you worked there for that person making this money? You love the Lord, you say, yes. Don't you think the Lord is with you? Well, yes, if I get not if you get promoted. Be careful. If somebody's sitting in this audience right now and you're saying, well, that's kind of what I want. I want to be promoted. I want to get to the next position. I wish they would. I wish I had this and that. Be careful. Joseph got promoted. Be careful what you wish for. Because Potiphar wasn't the only one who was looking at Joseph. Now that Joseph is promoted. You say, what do you mean? I want you to see camera angle number 2. Verse 6. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he did not know what he had except for bread and the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form. I think the NIV says he was well built. That's our terminology. And in appearance. So he was a good looking man. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. Whoa. And the privilege of position becomes a place of temptation. I started out in the business world, as you remember my testimony. I've seen this. And I've seen Christians wanting to get into a particular position, a certain department, and then they end up working with somebody that becomes a temptation. We're going to look now from Potiphar's wife's camera. Oh, she's looking at the same person, but differently. And her approach? Direct. She waits for the opportunity and says, "Hey, I would really like to lie with you." What? That's pretty blunt. By the way, the Egyptian culture was shameless. I don't have time to tell you all the way that culture was at that particular time, but it was bold and in your face. People didn't have a conscience. There was immorality, which was rampant. Oh, you say, well, wait a minute. Does that sound familiar? It's the same thing. We have a tendency to think that the people in the Bible didn't face what we face. It's worse for us. No, it isn't. By the way, I'm old enough to remember this, and some of you are going to go, yeah. Do you remember when we went to the stores, even the grocery store and their magazine racks? They had to keep certain magazines out of sight in a drawer behind the counter. It wasn't in public. Remember that? Oh, now those magazines are in public view, and you walk through there with your young people, your children. And it's right in their face. Didn't used to be that way. You mean America? In America, they actually hid those kind of pornographic things? Yeah. You couldn't put it out in public. Because we had still a little bit of conscience back in those days. It's gone. This is the Egyptian culture. Her approach, she was direct. Hang on. Look at verse 10. So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day. Whoa. And I'll tell you what I have marked in my Bible. Good reason to have daily devotions. Daily devotions. Did you see what she did? She didn't say, "Hey, I'd like to get together with you." And he said, no, she didn't let it go. Day by day, she kept saying the same thing. That's a good reason for all of us to have a daily devotional time where we get strength from the Lord through His Word to face the temptations in America. So day by day, she kept at it. And his response? Look how direct he was. But he refused, verse 8. He refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he's committed all that he has to my hand." Joseph was direct with her. He simply refused. She said, "Well, I'd like to." No. He said, "No." Did you know sometimes you just have to get downright rude to temptation? You just have to get rude to it. When you face it, you actually have to say, "Oh, no," and go a different direction. In fact, he did avoid her. God bless Joseph. I mean, listen to this. In verse 10, it says, So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, he didn't heed her. He wouldn't listen. He wouldn't talk to her or be with her. He kept out of her way as much as possible. He determined, that is one woman I don't need to be around. I'm going to speak to the men for a minute. I don't know your situation, don't know where you work, don't know what you face on every day, so this is not aimed at anybody. But after all these years of pastoring, and I don't care what church it is, in many ways churches are all the same in so many ways. Listen, men, do you know that you may need right now to cut off the conversations that you're having after work with that secretary or that other person, that other woman that works in the same department with you? I don't know if you have to change your schedule. I will tell you, a man came to me years ago, a godly man, told me his work situation, and he stunned me when he said, because I didn't know why he wanted to meet with me. He goes, okay, I'm just going to get to the point, Pastor. He said, I'm just going to tell you something. There is a particular woman at a particular office where I go to sell products. And he said, I'm just telling you, I'm having a real struggle. And I'm like, wait a minute. He's, whoa, not this guy. He goes, I'm telling you, Pastor, I'm telling you to pray for me, but tell me what to do. You know what I told him? I said, do you have to go to that particular place to try to sell the product? He goes, well, I mean, if I didn't go there, I would lose that money that I would get from that. I said, you know what you need to do? Don't ever go there again and see her. Don't ever go and forfeit the money that you would have gotten if you sold a product there. He did. And came back to me weeks and months later and said, I want to thank you for telling me what I couldn't bring myself to do. He said, that's exactly what I did. He said, I said, you've never ever gone there? He goes, no, I haven't, and I'm not going to, and I haven't seen her, and haven't talked to her, and God has given me victory. Thank you. Wow. Oh, another thing. Notice he cut off this conversation. Could I say this? Because here's what I typically hear too from over the years of talking with Christian men. Well, there's a particular woman there, and the reason I have talked with her, or she talks to me a lot, is because she's having all kinds of struggles at home, and her husband doesn't listen to her, and he's, you know, not very sensitive to her, and so I'm just trying to be an encouragement to her. I said, yeah. So you end up talking to her a lot? Yeah. I'm just trying to help her. She needs somebody to talk to. I've heard that so many times. Do you know what the Bible says about that? I'm going to give you a verse that I bet you haven't thought of in a long time or maybe even heard. And before I read the verse, well, I'll just tell you the verse. It's in, you know, don't turn to it, just listen. It's in Titus 2, verses 3 and 4. The older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands. So you know what I said to these guys? She needs to talk to another woman, not you. She needs to talk to another woman. If she's having struggles and problems and her husband won't listen and all this, she needs to talk to another woman, not you, a man. And that's what the Bible says. You older women should teach the younger women how to love their husbands. Good stuff. So camera angle number one. What did Potiphar see in Joseph? Camera angle number two. What did Potiphar's wife see in Joseph? Camera angle number three. What did Joseph see in God? In this passage, Joseph gives three reasons why he will not commit immorality with this woman. Verse 8. He refused and said to his master's wife, "He's committed everything to my hand." Do you know what he's saying? Your husband trusts me and has turned things over to me, and I'm not going to violate your husband's trust. He trusts me. And it's not the same thing, but here I stand behind the pulpit preaching, teaching to you, but I have to say to myself, and there's more reasons than this to keep my life right with the Lord, but Jerry Lancaster, for goodness sake, can you imagine what it would be like after all of these thousands of people through the years have put confidence in you and your ministry and your trust, and then you go out and do something like this right here? Is that a heartbreak or what? I mean, that is a heartbreak. I mean, honest to goodness, I can't picture it, but I want to keep myself right with the Lord so that I don't disappoint all the people that I have advised and counseled and preached to, prayed with, and talked to. But so should you. After all, you're a Christian. Keep your life right. Do you realize what you will do to your kids? Doesn't mean you can't be forgiven, but I want to tell you something. It will do something to your kids if you are unfaithful to your spouse. So he says, "I don't want to violate your husband's trust." And then he says, verse 9, "There is no one greater in this house than I. He hasn't held back anything from me but you." Here it comes. "You, because you are his wife." Second reason, she's another man's wife. He said, I'm not going to be involved with you. He believed that marriage was an exclusive relationship. Good for you, Joseph. He knew that's wrong. I would never do that. I would break his trust, but you're another man's wife. And then, the most powerful reason, he says in verse 9 at the end of it, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Joseph says, "I would never get involved with you in an immoral way because it is a sin against the God that I serve. It is a great sin. It would be a terrible offense to God." And when it's all said and done, the reason that we keep our lives pure, the most important reason, is because we profess to be Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, who stood for holiness and righteousness. And if we're going to profess to be Christians, we're supposed to live holy, godly lives. We're not self-righteous, but we are to live godly. What I'm doing is, I'm just laying this out here this morning because I don't know who the Holy Spirit is speaking to, and you don't have to come talk to me. All I'm saying is, there may be just even one person sitting here going, "Ooh, my goodness, do I need to hear this message." Not that you've done anything wrong, but you've been facing the temptation. Don't go there. Remember your God. And so Joseph, look what happens. verse 11. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work. Now get this, none of the men of the house was inside. So there he is alone with her. She caught him by his garment and said, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. He left. Did you see the sermon title? He just lost another coat. Remember the first one, the coat of many colors that they took from him and acted like the animals got it and went to the father? Now Joseph just lost another coat. Oh my goodness. He lost his coat, but he didn't lose his character. It isn't the style or the stuff in the coat, nor is it the length of the tailor's bill. It's the stuff in the chap inside of the coat that counts for good or ill. So this is the second time Joseph lost a coat. I put it this way. The first coat was the coat of many colors. This coat, the coat of firm convictions. And he left, she ripped his coat off. She took his coat, he left it and ran. Young people. And some listen later, some of these messages get passed on. Young people, listen to me. What does God tell you to do when you face this kind of sexual temptation? The Bible states it clearly. Run. Listen to 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee fornication. Blunt, straightforward. Run from it. Stop dating him. Stop dating her. Stop going there with them. Flee. And again, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, it says, flee also youthful lusts. Some lusts that have a tendency to predominate among those who are young people. Run from it. You're not a scaredy cat for running. God says there's some things you need to run from. Don't put yourself in that situation. And if you're listening and you say, well, I don't even know if I have the power to do that. Are you saved? You say, well, now, Pastor, what do you mean by saved? What I mean by the main message of this Bible is that the God that Joseph was worshiping and serving and obeying is the same God that many hundreds and hundreds of years later would send his son into this world to die on the cross to pay for our sins. And the Bible says we can know for sure that when we die, our soul will go to heaven because Jesus paid the price on the cross fully. It is trusting him. If you haven't trusted him as your Savior, you must do that. And then, let me tell you what will happen. You won't see it. In fact, when I was a boy, 7, 8 years old, I went forward and received Christ as my Savior. If you had been there, you would have seen a little boy go forward. At the moment that I got saved, my shirt didn't change, my shoes didn't change. I looked like the same little guy. If you'd been there, you wouldn't have seen a glow around me or anything like that. But you know what I found out the Bible says happened at that moment? At the moment that I received Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit came to live within me to give me power to live a godly life in this filthy world that we're living in, which is broken by sin. And we face the temptations as long as we're here. but we have the Holy Spirit of God to give us victory. So you need to get saved today. If you're not, don't leave here without knowing Christ as your Savior, and you can walk out of here with the Spirit of the living God living in you. Thank you, Lord, for Joseph. Thank you for the example. Help every one of us to do what Joseph did. And thank you, Lord. If there's a person here who's not saved or listening to this tape, message, would you help them, Lord, if they don't know you, to receive you as Savior, that they may have you living in them and give them power to live a godly life in this in-your-face world that we live in. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.